It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champions Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
All right, everybody, welcome to this week's edition of the UGA Sports Live Podcast here from Champions. I want to say thank you to 11 Live Sports, Cable East, 365 Game Day, Athens Ford, Your Pie, and, of course, 11 Live Sports. Guys, practice has started. We're actually talking about football. We're not talking about, and we will talk about recruiting, but we're not talking about what so-and-so said or, you know, the summer prognostications. We're not talking Phil Steele. We're not talking you know, what we expect to happen. We can now talk what we have seen. Two practices in the books. Granted, they're in helmets. And as Kirby Smart said today, the fashion show ends tomorrow when they put on. Now, I don't, are they going to full pads? He said pads, but I
he
imagine
said pads. I think it's just shells.
They're going to go to shoulder pads and helmets, but you can still hit in those to an extent, you know. You'll hear a lot more pad popping tomorrow when you check out our video from practice. We'll have some practice video and we'll have some photos and everything. So I guess we need to, well, please send in your questions to all you people watching on Facebook. We normally get about, you know, 20,000 people who wind up watching the show. We can't get to all the questions, but please send them in and we'll try to get as many as we can.
Recruiting, team, especially team if you got them, because that's been the big talk of this week. And, God, it feels good to get back to football.
It does. It does. I mean, we're getting out there. We're actually getting to see all these freshmen. You get to see Isaiah Wilson, who looks like he's dropped maybe 50 pounds.
No kidding. Lists him. I think I did a piece today over at UGASports.com that you definitely want to check out, our freshman orientation series. He Georgia, I think, lists him at 345 pounds. It would not surprise me if he's well under that. And I don't mean well in the sense of, like, he's not 300, but he's I mean,
this is a guy who I think has flirted with 370, to be honest.
No question.
But, I mean, he's probably in the 330 range.
You got to love the fact that the big guy from Brooklyn is out there in the long sleeves.
That may not be by choice, though.
Oh, sure. I get it. Hey, he's going on that Glenn Schumann plan. That's the Coach Schumann way.
Is he wearing that again this year?
I haven't seen Coach Schumann this year. I've been focusing on offense so far, so I cannot verify it. Guess would
the
be
whole
yes.
7 minutes we get out there.
I don't have time to run over to the other side.
Yeah.
Isaiah Wilson out there rocking the long sleeves. Hey, props to those guys, though, for finding any avenue to acclimate a guy. And I think that that's definitely a way that you can do it.
Yeah, we saw him back in December down in Orlando, and it wasn't even that hot. I mean, it got to 80 degrees. It was a little bit humid. You know, Orlando's always going to be somewhat humid. And he was suffering in the heat. And I thought, man, when you get to Athens in August – and it's 95 degrees with about 85% humidity, which it has not been yet. The last 2 days have been absolutely beautiful in Athens. So, so far, he's got a very nice introduction into what the weather can be like here.
Absolutely.
We're basically having some October weather here in August. But watching to see how he gets acclimated was a big deal. We get to see Jake Fromm, which we saw before. We get to see, the new guys – coming in, I was very impressed with Mark Webb, DeAndre Swift, Malik Herring, William Poole, Matt Landers.
Oh, boy.
That is a tall cat, folks.
That's a big guy. Big guy. And I'll tell you what, hey.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but you've had two tweets in the last 2 days. Mm-hmm. We've had 2 days of practice, and you've named the guys that have impressed you. Yeah. So for all the people that are watching, give me the two guys that impressed you.
The two guys, I would say, out of both days that really caught my eye. First day, jumped off the page to me was Trey Blunt, and freshman wide receiver, a guy that I thought, and I'm sorry, Trey, about this. I kept sitting out there going, man, Trey Bishop looks good. And I thought it was Trey Bishop because he looks a lot bigger than I remember seeing Trey the last time I did. Bishop is a guy who goes about 6'2", in that 185, 190 range. Blount looks about that big right now. And, man, he was running so smoothly yesterday. His routes were on point. He was earning a lot of praise from James Coley. And he picked that up on the second day as well. So a very consistent performer to this point, in my opinion. The second guy I would probably –
he wasn't getting any passes thrown in front of him.
Oh, no,
he
no.
He had the catcher behind him.
Yeah. So. The second guy I would go with probably and mind you, I will say, full disclosure, I've only watched offense to this point.
That's all we've had time.
I've only had the time to get on one side of the field and stay there. But I will say that the guy I love who's working there right now, this is a little bit of a wild card because he's brand spanking new, and that's Akil Crumpton. Akil Crumpton has looked super quick, super smooth coming in and out of those routes. And, you know, the thing I love about him is I've seen him run a few corner routes. He's going over there on the sideline, and he knows exactly where he is. He's able to kind of to position his body in a way to stay in bounds, make that tough catch, and then turn it upfield and just go. So Akil Crumpton, the new addition to the team, I know he's going to be working primarily at the kick returner position. Kirby Smart's definitely made that clear. But definitely a guy who looks like he's got the speed and can replace Isaiah McKenzie to some extent.
We did get a question on Facebook. It's from Michael Jones, and it's the kind of the running joke right now since Last Chance U's out. He says, how many people told you you look like Buddy Stevens off Last Chance U, Roddy?
About 90,000.
Yeah, I mean, spitting image. Yeah.
Roddy Nabulsi Stevens. He leaves off the hyphenated part.
They're actually twins.
Well, I will say that one of the guys at the Athletic Association who at one point had a chance to hire him, I said, you look nothing like him. I don't get it. And I'm like, okay.
Thanks. Yeah, take it where you can get it.
Yeah, thanks. I do cuss more than he does. So apologies to everyone watching the show on 11 Live Sports and from, you know, and anybody at Athens Ford. If we do say something untoward, it's my apologies. It's my fault.
I will say the big news of the day that we've already got people hitting us up about, Kirby Smart exits the press conference today and drops a little bit of a note on everybody. No one thought to ask today, and he goes, hey, I got one for you. Beal is cleared to go. Robert Beal, four-star linebacker, rivals 250 a player in Athens, and it sounds like he's going to be practicing very soon, if not tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, but – this is not a surprise to any of the subscribers at UGASports.com because we told them, was it last week we said it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We told them last week that we were starting to, today's on Tuesday. We told them that we expected him to come in over the weekend if, you know, and we didn't know the exact date, but that's kind of what we were expecting. So we had heard that he was cleared to play and or would be on his way to Athens, and then some of the sources we spoke to said, Kirby wants that really quiet. And we're like, well, you know, we'd like to keep it quiet within reason, but it is news. So we didn't come out and put out a report saying, yes, Beal's coming. We told our people what we were hearing, that he was cleared. Now the big question comes up, does he play this year or is he redshirt?
I think he's a great candidate for a red shirt. I thought that regardless of what was going to happen, no matter when he came in, I mean, even if he did early enrolled, it's just not a position of need this year. Yeah. You've got two great leaders in the form of Lorenzo Carter and Davin Bellamy, a guy like Chauncey Manack who can kind of play in between that defensive end spot and drive back there to that outside linebacker spot. DeAndre Walker plays like a guy with his hair on fire. You know, it's just not an immediate need. And Beal has that incredible frame that you want at that position, but there's still time to develop it, and there's still time to get the most out of it. I just don't see the need. I get why people don't want to redshirt guys. I totally understand that. And Kirby Smart has made point to say, hey, you know, we're moving away from that. We know that these guys ultimately want to play 3 years and go, but Beal is a guy who I think would be an excellent candidate for a redshirt.
Before you even start speaking about redshirt, though, just him in general just making his way to campus right now, do you think he just goes out there tomorrow? Let's say that he is out there. They're going to throw him out there full speed. That was something I was thinking of on the drive up here. He's going to have to acclimate. I think people are, you know, they're thinking, oh, yeah, Robert Beal's here. He's going to go out there. You got to still kind of push
him. He's here for the first day in pads.
Right.
The NCAA requires everyone to acclimate the same way.
Well, and the thing is, I would feel a lot more confident saying that personally if he had been at IMG throughout his senior year of high school. Because, let's be frank about it, IMG is, it's junior college football, essentially. The fact that he transferred away from there, went back to Norcross and Peachtree Ridge and kind of bounced it back for a couple of semesters, you know, he was out of that training program for a while. I think if he had stayed with that, yeah, maybe he comes in and walks in and goes full speed. He's going to need some time to get his legs under him. And really, you know, I know why people would be skeptical about that. One of the guys who I've seen this year who's really kind of reinforced that for me in these first 2 days of practice is Bryce Ramsey.
Yeah.
Bryce, you know, is coming back from this
vacation.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. And
what it is.
Yeah. And has really not looked very sharp. I didn't think the first 2 days of practice. I think that the rust is there. You have to be going through those motions and doing those things day in and day out in order to keep those skills as sharp as they have to be to play in this league.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even be surprised if when you guys go out to practice tomorrow, you don't see Beal. He might be behind the scenes. Just they might be trying to just get him in shape again. Even though he has been working out and had a trainer for God knows how many years, but it's one of those things. You throw him out there with the Wolves. He just moved into Athens. You know, he's sleeping his first night in his bed. So it's one of those things you kind of want to bring him in slowly, like you do with all the other freshmen. So he's just taking a little time longer. So
well, speaking of bringing in slowly, I wonder if we'll see Devontae Wyatt.
Whoa.
What do you know about that? Why would you bring that up?
What are we going to talk about here, guys?
Well, I will say this. One of the more infamous posters on our board put up a note about Devontae Wyatt. We've been hearing that it was very
close.
Close.
Yeah.
Maybe leaning towards unlikely that Devontae Wyatt would wind up in Athens. And it's very important that he does because wasn't he the only defensive tackle they took?
Yeah,
he talked
about this last week, guys. Yeah. The board's not big on D tackles this year.
So they absolutely need a guy like that to come in. And maybe he doesn't play because you had all those freshmen that played last year. You know, you see Mikael Carter, David Marshall, you know, Julian Rochester, all those guys get after it. So maybe it's not imperative that he gets in for this year. But, I mean, once Trenton Thompson's gone, which we expect to happen at the end of this year, John Atkins is gone at the end of this year, all of a sudden you're like, hey, we and just need depth. I mean, I think they have 20 different offensive linemen.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're rotating those guys in and out, think about it, that's a four deep, five across, you know. Just to get through practice, you need more bodies out there.
I will say, too, the thing that strikes me about what you just said, and based on these first couple press conferences that we've had with Kirby Smart, he said something yesterday that really raised my eyebrows, and I think raised the eyebrows of a lot of people, which was basically the expectations at Georgia did not meet the talent level that they had. And that was his honest take on last year. You know, I think that they have infused at places where they felt like they were thin. I think that especially, like you mentioned, the offensive line, you know, the competition going on there. Hell, we saw Justin Schaefer running second team today. You know, that's a freshman, a highly untouted guy. I mean, a three-star guy, somebody that people were talking about, Natori Johnson, his teammate in high school, way, way more. You know, suddenly this guy looks like he's taking second team reps, second day of fall practice.
Yeah.
It's hard to read too much into it yet, but the competition is certainly there.
Well, you're replacing three guys. And you took, you know, the starter there has moved out, and then let's replace him with Pat Allen, who didn't see a whole lot of snaps. Solomon Kinley, you know, that's kind of a new guy out there.
Move Galliard over.
Move Galliard, so you
got four guys in new spots.
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't think Galliard's position is locked down.
Correct.
I mean, if you haven't played, remember, he's a former defensive lineman at Georgia.
Yep.
So he moves over to guard and becomes a pretty good guard. And now, go play center.
Yes.
Have you played it before? I mean, I think, maybe Little League or something?
Pee-wee,
you know?
Yeah.
So it's
Pop Warner.
I don't know that Lamont Galliard was ever much of a peewee, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He probably was the running back.
He wasn't one of the mighty mites.
Yeah, right.
They just gave him the ball and he ran it.
He was still abusing people, even at that level. But I do think that that competition is really one of these situations where these guys are it's iron sharpening iron. It's what they wanted from the beginning. You know, you see it's great to me to see – and I got some film of this today. Isaiah Wilson out there, five-star, number 17 player in the nation, and he's just holding a bag and just letting people maul him.
Sean Fogarty, a transfer from Savannah State,
is hitting him.
You know,
you gotta love that.
I think one thing that I saw in the press conference, I know that you guys were there and I was able to watch it, was Kirby Smart said he's going to throw guys in there to see how they react. So Justin Schaefer in there with the second team O-line. It's by plan. They're throwing these guys in there to see how they react. You might even see day seven, Justin Schaefer's playing first team to see how he reacts. And, you know, it's one of those things.
Well, he said they're looking for their top eight.
Now, I don't know who they are. I'm gonna hit you guys with this question very early, of course. Jonah Murphy asks it, though, so we'll touch on it, Jonah. He says, do you feel confident saying that this year's O-line will be better than last year's?
Can it be worse? No, that was mean. I'm sorry, Greg. I'm sorry, Brandon, Tyler. He set me up. I couldn't resist. It's tough. It's tough. I have a lot of faith in Sam Pittman in year two.
Sure.
And he does have an influx of new talent, but I think I've done 9 different radio shows in the last 48 hours, and I've said this about the offensive line in every one of them. You took what's considered to be an average offensive line last year, a line that's not going to be considered one of Georgia's greats by any means. You took away the two tackles and you took away the center.
Yeah.
The two guys who are responsible for keeping your quarterback upright the most, you know, from those edge rushers, and the guy that calls out the protections. You take the two guards that are left and you move them one to center, one to tackle. One is a former defensive lineman.
Sure.
Okay. So you're going to replace those three guys that you removed with either guys who could not beat them out last year. That's no shot against, you know, Kendall Baker, you know, Pat Allen, Solomon Kinley, guys like that, you know, Ben Cleveland. Or you're going to replace them with true freshmen. Neither of which, and you were never up in a lot of games where you could bring in, hey, Pat Allen, go in there for play the entire second half, you know. Hey, let's burn some red shirts on these offensive line guys, get them out there. Chris Barnes, jump out there, show me what you can do. You know, these guys redshirted, they didn't get a chance. So anybody who is new starting out there will have almost zero snaps in games, be it a true freshman or a guy that didn't play last year, aside from Deshaun Sims. You know?
Yeah, sure.
So I'm just saying, but there's not a lot of experience out there. So can you say, will they be better than last year? How do you know when those guys haven't played?
Here's the one thing that I point to, and this is what gives me some sort of confidence about where they're headed and what they want to do this year. Your most experienced offensive lineman, no, he's not a traditional body at that left tackle spot, but it's Isaiah Wynn, and he is the leader of that group.
I think they're undefeated when he's out there.
Far and away. He's far and away the guy who is in charge of that group.
Okay, you got
he's the
one
guy
spot.
Who leads it.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's the most important spot on the whole thing. It's the guy who is.
Which he didn't play last year.
He didn't, but.
He did some.
A little.
Catalina was mainly there.
We got to talk to Lorenzo Carter yesterday, first day of practice, and he said the thing about Isaiah that people don't realize and that they don't give enough credit for is how athletic he is compared to the rest of the tackles in this league. Everybody thinks that they can come up by these guys, throw a swim move on him, and that's it because they're too heavy-footed.
They're too used to
giant.
They're used to Catalina.
Exactly.
Hey, be nice.
You throw a swim move on him, you get around the edge for a second, and all of a sudden,
he's back.
Boom, he stepped back. Yeah. One, and now he's back. He's back engaging you.
Are you teaching us how to block? Right
yes,
now?
I am.
Okay,
and I think that that's important. Now, am I willing to go out on the limb and say it's going to be better than last year? No, I can't. I can't say that right off the bat. I don't necessarily agree with that. I do think that you're going to get better left tackle play this year from Isaiah Wynn. I think that the left tackle spot will be improved.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, that's the most important spot on the line.
I'm a huge Lamont Gallyard fan. You guys know that. That's my guy. But you saw with the Falcons how big of a difference Alex Mack was for them at the center position compared to the guy they had previously. Alex Mack, true center in his fullest right, all-pro selection, yada, yada, yada. Gallyard's moving over to center. I think people, you were harping on it a little bit, Roddy, but I don't think people talk about it enough that the center and the quarterback, they've got to be on the same page. And if you aren't, it messes up your whole line play.
It messes up your play calling.
Correct. Sure. It messes up everything. And I'm a huge Galliard fan, but him switching to center I think is a little underrated right now in terms of, yeah, they've got to fill new positions, but he's going to a brand new position too. So it's something different
it's
too.
Big. So let's say you get the left tackle spot locked down, and then you got a true freshman, you know, playing at left guard. You've got a novice playing at center. You've got Pat Allen, a very inexperienced guy playing right guard. Then you've got DeMarcus Hayes, a JUCO guy playing out of right tackle. You might wind up with a better line than you had last year, but it's not a given. Now, here's the thing that might help you some. You've got a very healthy Nick Chubb, was not healthy next year. You got Sony Michel's not practicing in a cast like he was this time last year.
Right.
Remember the first day of practice last year, the big news was that Sony Michel was actually at practice.
Yes.
He had broken his arm maybe 3 weeks before that.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal. You've got you got very talented tight ends. I mean, Isaac Nata has to be accounted for. Jeb Blazevich has to be accounted for.
Jackson Harris.
I'm going to tell you this. I overheard somebody say this yesterday. This was not me. I can't even pinpoint who it was, so I'm not outing anyone by saying this. Someone said yesterday, Jeb Blazevich looks like Isaac Nata's younger brother because of how big Isaac is now and the way his body is filled out. Yeah. He is in the best shape we've ever seen him in, and he was in incredible shape when he was in high school. So
there's only been three five-stars tight ends.
Isaac was one of them. What that offensive line will face this year is a better Nick Chubb who will make that line look better. Because think about it. Last year, those guys, when they graded out, they put a hat on a hat. Everybody blocked somebody. But, you know, from the second game of the season on, everyone realized, well, just fill the box. Because, yeah, those five guys will block somebody. But if we have 7, 8, 9 guys in there, eventually it's going to be Nick Chubb or Sony Michel one-on-one with our safety or a linebacker. And Sony and Nick did not break those tackles last year.
Sure.
I think they break them this year, and all of a sudden everyone goes, wow, the offensive line is great. And no, they'll grade out the same. Also, you know, Jacob Eason's going to be more comfortable. The game will have slowed down for him.
I'm glad
you said
that.
And they're facing lesser competition. So, in other words, I can't say that this line will be better. The perception will probably be that they are better. Georgia will probably have a better record this year. And everyone will say, oh, well, Sam Pittman turned this whole thing around. But I think if you were to sit in the offensive line room, the meeting room, every Sunday or Monday when they're breaking down film, I don't know that they will grade out higher than Greg Pike, who is a very, very talented tackle.
I agree.
Brandon Cablano, who knew what he was doing at center. It was his second year. I don't know that they'll grade out any better. And, you know, they have their these awards, you know, for hitting a certain percentage of doing your assignments. And I think sometimes the offensive line gets a bad rap. So.
All right. I'm glad you mentioned the name Eason because we've had a couple of questions about that.
To bring it up.
Somebody asked, do you think that Fromm is pushing him and has pushed him to this point because that Kirby Smart seems like he's a lot more comfortable with what Eason's showing. That was one of the questions.
We'll go ahead and tie it in.
Yeah, go ahead.
We got one from Dylan Smith said expectations for Eason this year for all of us. So it's kind of double-edged question there.
I would say I expect at least 7 games for Eason to throw over 300 yards. I don't think that'd be too much to ask.
That's a lot. With the running backs you have back there?
You said what?
300 for 7 games?
7 games?
That's a lot.
Yeah, that is.
I don't think he's asking too much.
And
I mean, look at some of the games
he's got the talent around him.
Yeah. You're throwing to think about Riley Ridley out there, Jeremiah Holloman, Terry Godwin, Javon Wims, Tyson.
I'm sorry?
Just throw it to Tyson.
Who the hell's Tyson?
Tyson?
Are you I can't think of his name right now. number 3.
Tyler Simmons.
Tyler. I was going Ty Simmons.
Holyfield.
Tyler. Yeah, that's I thought of Holyfield.
I was like, what type of shot is this?
Oh yeah.
Just throw it to the 205-pound wide receiver.
You got to love the fact
the guy, he's a track star.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
And Alabama wanted him really badly.
Not only is he a track star, he's the kind of guy who's playing that wide receiver position who could very, very easily go back there and take the beating at running back.
Yeah.
And James Coley pointed it out as much yesterday. He said, I overheard him at practice, he said, "Tyler, you can be dangerous. Not a lot of receivers are 205. And he is, I mean, he's stacked.
He's been
dude.
Built, though. He yeah. was built in high school.
He's built like a truck.
Yeah.
And he runs like a deer because, like I said, I can remember the day in which the coaches were fawning over him. He was running, was it McEachern?
Yes.
He was running for McEachern in the state track meet, and he looked older than everybody out there. He had this big, full beard. And all of a sudden, he goes tearing by on the 4x100, and Kirby Smart, who was there for Alabama, and Jeremy Pruitt are both watching him.
Who's that kid?
And they just kind of meandered to see where he was, you know, and then the race was on for him. And remember, he came down as real tough.
Absolutely.
He had a tough choice between
Alabama. He was committed to Alabama until he flipped on signing day.
Yeah. Yep. Well, there you go. So this is a guy who I think he's going to be very interested. Get him the ball.
You know. Home run threat. I mean, a guy who – and the thing about it
is – and they're going to be throwing to Sony, too.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, and we've seen that, too. There was some of this back in spring. There was a little of it in the fall. But they're pulling guys like Sony Michel, Brian Herrien, DeAndre Swift already over to that wide receiver and tight end group and working them with the quarterbacks on catching passes. They're not treating these guys like backs.
Now, my point being about the 300 point yards per game in seven games, remember a 5-yard dump to Sony Michel for a 30-yard gain goes on Jacob Eason's stats as a 30-yard completion.
Sure.
He might have thrown it behind the line.
Yeah.
It still counts as a completion, and he takes off. So all of a sudden, they're like, wow, look at Georgia's passing game. Well, you're throwing it to Brian Herrien, you're throwing it to Sony Michel, and we're going to see a lot more Sony Michel on the field.
And I think you're going to, honestly, early
and
on.
And how many times are you going to throw it to Isaac Nauta? Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt
no,
you.
No. Yeah, sure.
Ten times a game.
And, hey, the one name we have not even mentioned is Charlie Warner, who was dealing with the high ankle sprain last season. You know, hampered him up. It's one of those, like I said, it's one of those injuries that takes time to heal back from. Charlie's going to be playing at top-notch level and is as good of an athlete you got on the team.
Another guy we didn't harp on, Dylan Smith, did. He says, and I was wondering as well, will Holloman be a big part of the offensive plans this year? Jeremiah Holloman,
I think when Jake
target.
Fromm gets in there, he will be.
Yeah.
I think Jake looks for him.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, absolutely.
Hey, I'm going to go option, there you go.
Early on, I don't know if Jeremiah is going to be able to make a huge impact. This freshman year, I just don't see it yet. Part of that reason being, I think that Eason's kind of established his rapport with guys like Riley Ridley. Javon Wims, Terry Godwin.
Yeah. He looks at Nauta every play.
Exactly. So, you know, those guys are going to see the looks first. Now, Jeremiah is one of those guys, though, that I can definitely see blossoming down the line. He's got all the athleticism in the world and is going to be a matchup nightmare for almost anybody you put him up against. So I'm reticent to say so. Beyond that, I do think Jeremiah Holloman's
in for
big things.
And a lot of people are talking about, what about Mecole Hardman? Mecole Hardman's, but think about this. Let's go back last year when we thought the top two wide receivers were going to be Isaiah McKenzie and Terry Godwin, right?
Yep.
Everyone's like, okay, well, who's the third guy? That was the question. And it comes out, hey, Michael Chigbu's your number one guy. Jason Stanley's your number two guy.
And
everybody's like, wait, what were you talking about? Well, Michael Chigbu can block. Jason Stanley can block. And then we did not see Isaiah McKenzie and Terry Godwin on the field at the same time because it was whichever one of those guys was hot. You were switching them in and out. This is a run team first.
And like
you were saying. And so you put them out there. But now, let's say we saw this last year. They had guys who could catch and guys who could block. But now all of a sudden you have guys who can do both, like Riley Ridley, like Javon Wims, like Jeremiah Holloman. Jeremiah might be the guy that gets out there because he goes, Coach, look, I can block. And that's nothing against Mark Webb. I don't know. Trey Blunt may be able to do it really well. We know Trey loves to hit. So, in other words, there's a lot going on there. There's only so many guys that can get the ball. And like you said, it's a run-first team. And I still think your first look should be to the tight end.
And a lot of people are probably going to
There's
groan.
There's nothing against Mecole Hardman.
People are probably going to groan when we say this. Chig is still running at the top of the depth chart. I mean, because and Kirby Smart has said, if you do not block, you will not play. That's it. I mean, that's
and he lays people out.
Exactly. Chigbu is built like a giant safety. I mean, he is 6'2", 210 pounds,
and he just doesn't catch as much as we like.
and I will say, I made a point to say this today on the vent over at UGASports.com. The thing that I've noticed in the first 2 days of practice, obviously very early, very presumptive, you know, just taking what we can from that. The thing I've noticed so far about these, about the receiver drills, not as many drops as I saw last year at the same time.
Well,
not
as many drops. You were dealing with a freshman quarterback as your number
exactly,
one.
Not as many drops in the spring.
Yeah. Spring was better.
Now you're seeing it, and it's really cleaned up. The main problem I'm seeing right now is overthrows. You know, guys are kind of overshooting, but that's about timing. That's a timing.
We saw that
issue.
In spring too.
Exactly.
Well, this was one of the things we talked about last year. We didn't know who was going to step up a wide receiver. Now we're talking about. We've mentioned 12 guys in the last couple minutes, so I think they're loaded at wide receiver now.
But again, and for all the people saying Mecole Hardman, I get it. But remember last year. He came from being a quarterback. He goes to being a secondary guy. He could not beat out the top guys at cornerback.
Sure.
Now that he's switched and he's had the spring, is he better than Riley Ridley? Is he better than Javon Wims? Is he better than Terry Godwin?
Yeah.
At this point, I don't think so.
No.
Now, he might be. And, again, we're 2 days into
and
27 practices.
Yeah.
You know, he's got time. Don't worry, folks. And especially – he might be, all of a sudden be your return guy.
Hey, I'm gonna shout out real quick my guy Tim Connor here, only because this was such a brilliant comment, and I totally agree with you, Tim. He says, Chigbu reminds me of Bolden, pure possession receiver who can be deadly in the red zone and short yardage.
I gave him
the exact same thing when he was coming out of high school. I said, this is Anquan Bolden. He's got those Mickey Mouse hands, and he's not a guy who's going to beat you with his speed, but he can lay it out there. Chigbu is – do not write the guy off. I'm telling you. I'm a big Chigbu fan.
Hey, he might be.
He's not gonna listen. I don't think he's a game breaker. I don't think he's Tyler Simmons. I don't think he's Terry Godwin. But I think that the Bolden comparisons are very accurate. I think that he's a guy who can just flat out get in there, get it done. He'll do whatever you ask him to, and he's never going to think twice.
If he
about
shows
it.
Out during the season, I will tell you my Chigbu Tony Ball story from when I was in the recruiting office. Pretty crazy. Okay. But he's got to do something first. One thing I noticed on the defensive side of the ball, I noticed it in the group picture that they took for the dinner, Jaden Hunter with the middle linebackers, something that not a lot of people thought was going to be happening. Jake, I know you touched on it when you guys were out there. You did see him.
And rocking the 88, which is awesome. Shout out Bryce Hunter. You know, great to see him pay honor to his father and for everybody to make that happen. Cool to see that. Yeah, you know, we've seen him with the inside linebackers early on. Jaden, not a huge surprise there. I mean, that's where everybody kind of felt like.
But everybody kept saying he's an outside linebacker, and I'm like, he's going to be the smallest outside.
Indeed.
I think Woody was hammered for that.
Yeah, sure.
Because Woody said, no, he's an inside guy, and everybody lost their damn mind.
Now, and then, but then the narrative kind of changed a little bit down the line to say, maybe this is a guy who can play that star position for you in the way that, like, people thought about Roquan Smith when he came out of high school. Yep. You know, he's got the speed.
He's got the
size. It's very, very similar.
Yeah, but he can't cover that. Well, I mean, he might. But what we're seeing right now, I mean, who did earlier today, Kirby Smart was talking about that star position. That was one of the questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's going to play the star? He mentioned yesterday, he mentioned Tariq McGee.
Yep.
You know, that's not a big guy. William Poole's running there.
Aaron Davis is running there right now.
D'Angelo Gibbs was there. And Richard LeCount in spring. Now, this is going back to spring, but right now Aaron Davis is there. I think that's very interesting. So you have Aaron who – if you're going to play what Maurice played last year, he was, you know, huge for Georgia.
Everywhere on the field.
You know, but playing that star position, that's a thinking man's position.
Sure.
You got to be able to read and react lightning fast. And if I had to pick a guy, I love the idea of Aaron Davis there.
Yeah.
One of the smartest guys on the team, super quick, makes great decisions, makes great interceptions left and right. You leave Dominic Sanders back there as one of your safeties and then bring in J.R. Reed as your other safety.
Can we
talk?
Or
Eric, just trying to say
J.R.
LeCount.
Oh, LeCount.
But I say
yeah.
Reed or yeah. LeCount back there.
Yeah.
That's pretty good safeties.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And
absolutely.
Aaron Davis at that star spot.
You got to shout out the previous coaching regime for getting Dominic Sanders and Aaron Davis in this program. God, those guys have been
knew who the hell
unreal,
were,
unreal. Aaron Davis was a walk-on. I mean, he was a guy from Luella who I think he suffered an injury and was
he people were two or three.
People were like debating whether or not he'd ever be able
even
to play
football. Yeah.
Exactly, huge now, for those guys. You're coming on. You're seeing two guys really, really coming to their own. Happy, so happy for
now.
Those
there
guys.
Was one genius analyst who said that Dominic Sanders was fantastic and that everybody should go after him.
Chad Simmons.
He's a good-looking guy, you know. He wears a Master's hat and he has a goatee. He looks like Buddy Stevens. I'm just saying there's a guy out there that saw Dominic Sanders, said this cat is off the chain, and I was – that's my one for the next decade. I was right about him.
Guys,
as Ace Sanders, then Dominic Sanders, and then I'm good.
We've got a couple questions coming in so far throughout Luke Kickladder. I see this is one position
we
haven't touched on yet. He says, any thoughts on the breakout D lineman? He's thinking Julian Rochester, Daquan Hawkins.
No. Mikael Carter is running with the ones today, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. And Mikael is a guy who I
– disagreeing with you, but
– yeah.
No. You know, those guys are going to be relied on heavily. Everybody in that second
– Roddy already
touched
on it.
Everybody in that front seven –
it's going to be a full rotation.
Everybody's getting snaps.
You're going back in. Yeah,
well, we saw that last year. Musical chairs.
Yep. I said back when Mikael committed, and I still feel this way, the way that his body's developing, he's very similarly – built to Trent Thompson.
He looks like a square.
He's he is.
He has no neck.
Well, no rectangle, but
yeah. He's a rectangle. Yeah.
He's so top heavy and
Minecraft guy.
Yeah.
Built him in Minecraft.
Yeah.
All right, like nerd. That. Whatever. We're back on the football podcast now.
The what?
Yeah. So, Mikael Carter, though, a guy that I could absolutely see coming into that. I saw him a couple times in his high school career, a very violent pass rusher.
Him on the outside, though, right? You're not putting him on the inside.
But that doesn't – it's not at the cost of speed, and that's the key that you want. That's the thing, the golden goose, if you will. He is the guy who has that excellent combination. He's gigantic, but that costs him nothing when it comes to speed and acceleration.
Yeah, I think you've got a bunch of guys that are exactly like his body type too. You can throw them all in there. Like we've said, Rochester, Hawkins, Muckle, Mikael Carter. I'm missing another guy that came in with Carter that I cannot
David think Marshall?
Of. David Marshall.
Tyler Clark.
That's who I was thinking, Tyler Clark. Yeah, you've got a lot of guys that are pretty much the exact same body type, and it's just going to be get in there for a couple plays and go back at it, and I think that's something that
I've got no problem looking up and seeing Jonathan Ledbetter, Trent Thompson, and any of those guys.
Yeah.
Mikael Carter, yeah. David
Take
Marshall,
your poison.
John Atkins. Yeah. I can just put them in there. Julian Rochester, I mean, if you're going to have Trent Thompson, Jonathan Ledbetter, and Julian Rochester out there, okay, we got this.
Yeah, go ahead and try to run.
You got to feel comfortable walking out on the field going, yeah.
That's a three-man offensive line. I mean, you could put them in front of Jacob Eason, and I'd take your chances. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, that's my point, you know. And then just the fact that last year they ran three on at a time and three off.
Yep.
I mean, I was used to seeing one or two, you know, and a couple times you see, but there were multiple times I saw three big defensive linemen
You're
run on
see it again
at three
year.
Off, and I'm like, well, I mean, now granted, there's a new defensive line coach who maybe doesn't do that, but, you know, they do need them. And again, that's why we're saying, hey, you know, if Wyatt makes it into town.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It's definitely not out of the question, in my opinion, to see a guy like that come in and get some.
There's not a guy you're trying to redshirt. That's a guy you
need
to play.
Exactly.
Yeah. And look at the dividends it's going to pay off. We saw David Marshall out there early. We saw Tyler Clark out there early. Did Tyler have a sack?
Yeah, I believe so.
Mikael Carter had a sack.
Marshall had several. Yeah, he had like three,
all
I
those
think.
Guys. So, yeah, you were, and there were problems when those freshmen were out there. They did get beat a lot. But then they also made some big plays. But now, just like Jacob Eason, for all those defensive linemen, they've been through the ringer. They've been through the SEC. They've been through the season. And now all of a sudden it's year two for them. And they're like, oh, yeah. In other words, Chris Barnes bring Ben Cleveland.
Solomon Kinley.
So they haven't. Solomon got out on the field for like what, two plays?
One
play.
Yeah, he got a red shirt.
He got a red shirt.
He played a little enough to get a red shirt.
Yeah, whoever threw him out there got fired.
Yeah. So those guys go out there. Again, when they step on the field, it'll be their first time.
Yeah.
You know, playing between the hedges or at Tennessee, you know, wherever they're lined up. You know, it's not for these defensive linemen. I don't say they're old hat at it, but, you know,
if I'm not mistaken,
they're thinking about something else. Not, you know, is everybody getting my picture while I'm out here? Does my dad see me?
Yeah, right. Hey, Mom.
Because, you know, if I walked out, that'd be the first thing. I'm like, boy, Roddy better be getting a picture of me because I may never see the field again. Get down in my stance, you know. Like, Mom, please, I hope you're paying attention, Grandpa. You know.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, David, I think may have gotten a sack in the very first game.
He did.
I think he may have got a sack against UNC.
He did.
talk about a confidence boost. You're in the Georgia Dome. The place is rocking. Yeah. And all of a sudden, here you are, 18 years old. You were in high school 4 months ago.
Yeah.
And here you are laying out, out a first-round draft pick, the third overall pick in the NFL draft.
Who would we were all at that game. Who would have thought that dude was going third overall?
Well, that's neither here nor there. But yes, I agree.
That's a different story.
I agree with you.
NFL is on drugs.
To sum it all up, I don't think you need to worry about the defensive line this year. I think they've got enough pieces. And like you said with Wyatt, no reason to redshirt him because it's very easy on the defensive line. You go get the quarterback or you stay home, you try to stop the rush.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Jeff Fulford says, inside linebacker, we got two really good ones. Who do you see rotating in? That's an interesting question for sure. You've got Roquan Smith and Natres Patrick holding that down right now. And for my money, that's all you could ask for in the world. I mean,
you're going to see Reggie Carter. This is a guy that started six games last year.
Sure.
Reggie is definitely going to be the second. But to me, who's the fourth guy?
Maybe.
Is it Jahlil LeGuenz? Is it Monty Rice? Yeah. I think it might be
Juwan Taylor. Is a guy who's been around. He's been around. He's had some time to acclimate. Hey, maybe
throw Nate McBride to the Wolves.
I was gonna say you bring. Maybe you just need a guy who just comes tearing down the middle like a banshee, and you throw in Nate McBride.
Jaden Hunter.
Yeah. Jaden Hunter's a great athlete. It's
that
tough.
Number four is
right. Right. The four is gonna be the big question.
But I don't even think. Yeah, I think you're just gonna use three. I mean, do you need to take those guys off the field?
That's kind of a good point. If like, okay, Natres come out, Reggie go in.
Yeah.
And Reggie's going to get out there and not want to leave the field.
Benjamin Pack mentions Tay Crowder, who we've heard some good things about. I will say I'm not convinced that, that's a tough transition to make from running back to middle linebacker, but he has the build. I will say that. I mean, he's a guy who came in, 6'1", 6'2". Really stacked, and if they put some weight on that kid and he's able to keep that speed that he had back there, yeah, why not? Sure.
Yeah, but even then, like I said, I think you're looking at three, and then maybe you throw in a freshman you sprinkle him in every time because those three guys are going to be your leading tacklers. They've been around so long.
I think it might be Monty Rice.
Rice is not, the Bulldog.
I'm not taking anything away from Jahlil LeGuenz,
Roquan Smith 2.0, my friend.
I'm just saying Monty Rice might be that guy, that fourth guy, so that's answered the question.
Yeah. Monty is a guy I could definitely see making an impact. And like I said, I would never let him leave the side of Roquan Smith. Those guys
are
dead ringers for each other. I love how they play sideline to sideline.
Now, I want to address this other one here by Tim. Says, Barrett Salee of CBS Sports said this on 92.9. He said that the O-line play will be better because we aren't playing any D-lines that are world beaters this year. Yeah, that's a good point. I just did TV with Barrett Salee, and Barrett he's pretty quick, and he looks at the big picture.
Sure.
We're focused on one team. So, right now, I can't tell you how good Florida's defensive line is. I can't tell you Mississippi State's defensive line. But if Barrett said it, then that's kind of the same thing. You just look, you're not – again, the same point we made – you're not facing Alabama again.
Well, I think we can clearly say they have more talent in that room with Sam Pittman this year than they did last year.
Yeah.
That's easy to say?
Potential talent, yes. But it's very inexperienced.
And I don't know the layout, like you said, of all the teams. I will say the team that's on everybody's mind, especially early in the season, Notre Dame, obviously.
Ooh, that's going to be
– well, I talked to their guys, though, up in the –
offensive line. They're really good.
They are. But they talked about the fact that Georgia's offensive line is probably better than their defensive line, so it's going to be kind of the balancing act of figuring those two things out. Who's going to end up winning that battle?
I'm just saying Nick Chubb is going to go off in that game. It's a gut feeling. I think that he's going to be like
starts his Heisman campaign.
Everybody's watching this. I'll give y'all something to watch or Sony again. Everyone and one of the questions was expectations for Nick Chubb. I mean, 1,000-yard season?
Easy. Easy.
But I think you might have Sony Michel right behind him.
If not.
Because, and again, it won't be rushing yards.
Total
I think
yards.
Sony's going to be total yards. I think please pay attention to his total yards. Don't just go, he only rushed for 569 yards. Yeah, but he also had, another 800 yards receiving.
So. Right, right.
So Sony is, going to be very well. And in other words, I'm bullish on Georgia's offense right now, even with that crazy offensive line, because I think at some point the star power that you have at tight end, running back, wide receiver, quarterback
outweighs it?
Doesn't outweigh it, but can compensate for it.
Yeah.
I mean, Sean Moreno made some pretty average offensive lines look very good,
Good
job. Think about it. You had on a hat then he's one-on-one with an inside linebacker or a strong safety. He beats that guy, and he scores or picks up 40 yards. Now, and they all run up to the line. They got the confidence. They're putting their guys in the dirt. He picks up another 20 yards, touchdown. Everyone's like, wow, look at the offensive line. But if you're going 3 yards or 2 yards or a half yard and your running back's getting sacked, it just weighs on you, man.
Sure.
It just beats you down. And then the defense is feeding off of your fear or failures, and then they're just pinning their ears back coming after you. So,
you know, one guy we didn't talk about, Wesley Hunt, brought it up. He said, sorry if I already asked. It was not Wesley, so thanks for asking. And everybody else, get your questions in. We've got a few more minutes here, so definitely send those in. We can get to them. But he says, you guys think Amir Speed's going to grow out of that cornerback position? He's already 6'3" and 211 pounds. Amazing size on him, Bishop, and Brinney. That was one point that we know Mel Tucker and Kirby Smart wanted. They wanted to get bigger back there. And Amir Speed showing up at 6'3", 211, wow.
And I, as Dasher was coming back in today, he said, did you guys see Speed out there? He said, that cannot be accurate what's listed. They have him listed at 6'3". People believe, I think, that this kid is maybe more towards 6'4". You know, I mean, he's getting into outside linebacker territory with his size. Kirby Smart mentioned, though, in the press conference today.
If he can keep running.
Kirby Smart mentioned in the press conference today, he said, this is a kid who we're not looking at him at star. He's not played a lot of safety. He has been a pure cornerback his entire career.
That's crazy.
And if that is true, and what I've heard about him over the summer is true, then aces, because this is a three-star
blouses.
Yeah, this is a three-star kid who was a little bit unheralded. We talked about that earlier with Justin Schaefer. Amir was not a kid who a lot of teams got on, but this is a guy who was a championship hurdler, a guy who led his team in the 4x1. I mean, you're talking
so
about.
So you're telling him if you put him in a Hail Mary situation in the back, he could jump
up? He's pretty big, yeah. He could probably get up there with Juwan Jennings. You know, I'm just saying. I don't know.
So can Lorenzo Carter if he's not chipped.
Yeah, right. Oh, listen to the
blocked
salt
up
from
just
this
saying,
man.
Just saying, well, I've got into this argument with a million people saying the worst person to have out there on the field is Lorenzo Carter.
Lorenzo's a beast. He can dunk
considering,
from
yeah,
half court.
He can jump higher than anybody on the field. Mm-hmm. And there have been Hail Marys that he has knocked down.
Sure.
So
I forgot. This is a sensitive subject for Roddy. I should have been looking directly at you.
I hate it when people falsely assign blame and they complain about that particular situation. There were a heck of a lot of other guys on the field that could have knocked that pass down. And, Lorenzo Carter.
But speed, though.
I spoke with
but
someone.
But it would not hurt to have a 6'4" cornerback back there.
I spoke with someone I trust very, very much about player evaluations, about Georgia football in general. The word I got from them was that speed is the surprise jewel of the whole class. He's the guy that this team feels like a lot of other teams missed on. He's the guy that, brings that extra element to the field because of that size-speed combination. You know, let's be real. Let's be frank about it. Jalen Ramsey's a guy who kind of rewrote the book as far as, and Richard Sherman and these, Cam Chancellors of the world, these guys who are changing what it means to be a defensive back. They're giants, and they're back there backpedaling, keeping up with all these guys. I think that Amir Speed, the hope at least around the program seems to be that they have found that guy in Amir Speed.
Yeah,
that'd be fun to watch.
6'4", 215, I mean, it's kind of hard if he doesn't get on the field, he's probably...
See, my fear would be speed. I don't mean like his literal speed, how fast he'd be, but I did not realize he's launched their 4x100 team.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
He's
a bad dude. Well, I know where he played high school.
Yeah, Sandalwood. He's in Jackson. He's a Jacksonville boy.
If you go down in that area and you watch those cats run track,
they ain't slow.
You don't get to be on the track team if you were average.
My only thing is, so he's really good at track. He's got the size and measurables. I guess the only thing that's not adding up is, we've got to watch him in coverage now. That's the one thing that we haven't seen in a full amount. We know that he's got all the other intangibles. So, what held other schools back?
But this is the other thing. I've seen guys who are great in coverage but who cannot tackle.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Because how many times do you have to set the edge? How many times is coming your way? And you have to get down and dirty. And to that extent, I love the fact that Kirby Smart.
I knew you were going to bring it up. Ah, yes.
My boy Tariq
shout out, hey, shout out to Peach Football too. Oh, Peach yeah. County it Football.
Was, it was a genius move.
I immediately started thinking, is there a recruit down there?
Yes, there was. So
I was like, who's down there?
He comes out and says, I learned this long ago that, you know, guys out of Peach County tackle because they knock the hell out of each other, you know. And he's right.
And they do, man.
And I remember the first time I met Kyrus Jackson, who is a very talented athlete. We got him as wide receivers, right? But, I mean.
He's probably going to end up there in college, yes.
Okay.
But as of right now.
Who could play a number of different positions.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
At Georgia, Alabama, anywhere he wants to go. But he's a major Georgia target right now, and he's from Peach County.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a nice, subtle
little wink
to Peach County.
next thing you hear, I've heard about those Harrison quarterbacks and the way they're able to throw the ball.
Boy, they can sling it over there at Harrison.
I learned Harrison's always got loaded quarterbacks. But it was just a genius thing. But to be fair, it was a very nice compliment
to Tariq
McGee.
And incredibly true.
And for a guy who's not, you know, they've done all this work to bring in bigger guys. Because when you look and you see DeAndre Baker and Malcolm Parrish, you're like, this has got to be maybe the smallest cornerback duo.
Probably in the SEC.
Yeah. I mean, they're not big.
But they can cover.
And Tariq McGee's not a big guy.
Parrish
can
hit.
Tackle. That's the thing. The reason Malcolm Parrish is out there, because he'll tackle anybody.
Yeah.
You know, here comes Derrick Henry. He don't care. No. That guy's going to die.
Here comes
Jake's
here
eyes.
Comes I was thinking, like, here comes a brick wall. Like, here comes a concrete telephone pole just moving.
Here comes Michael Carter in a Minecraft.
But you got to understand. Yeah. See, Malcolm likes to tackle people with that giant chip on his shoulder. Yeah. You know, he's like, I'm not going to get hurt because this thing's going to absorb the impact when I hit.
Sure.
And DeAndre Baker, who had to prove himself midway through the season, you know, he was behind, Juwan Briscoe going, get me on the damn field. Get me on the damn field. Let me out there.
I can do better than him.
And you know, and granted, we're all on the same team, but when it's your position,
oh, yeah.
And you're seeing a guy get burned, and now Juwan didn't get burned all the time, but he
Stop
got burned
it.
Enough.
Stop it. He got burned a lot.
Hey, he had some interceptions. Okay. Come on now. Be nice.
Blind squirrel finds a nut.
man.
No, you still have to catch the ball when it comes your way. So Juwan made some good plays, but he didn't make enough, and he got burned too many times. You got to think DeAndre Baker's over there lose his mind. And DeAndre's a slight guy. Mm-hmm. But DeAndre got on the field going, Coach, I can tackle because a lot of teams are running at us. Malcolm Parrish showed it. I mean, what is Malcolm, 5'10"?
Ish.
I'm being polite, you know. So you got a 5'10 guy out there, and you're like, hey, I want to be a starter in the SEC. Yeah, a lot of undersized guys, you know, play that corner role, but he tackles, and that's why Tariq's out there. So to me, to go to your point, what we need to see from speed, you know, is can he cover? And I'm like, you know, I want to see if he can tackle. Because a lot of guys are more than happy to run with you and knock the ball away.
True.
But what happens when all of a sudden it's a pitch out?
And what was it?
And you got to take on that lead block.
What was it? 2 years ago?
Or just you got to eat that block. That's another one. A lot of guys don't want to do that. They're like, okay. And you know the guys behind you are supposed to pick him up.
2-3 years ago, one of the main complaints I remember people lobbying was that did these guys ever learn to tackle?
Oh,
where did
gotcha.
They learn to tackle? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
you try to bump him out of bounds.
It was arm tackles and
just, shoulder bumps.
Yeah, exactly. You know, these guys, I mean, I got to give it to them. This is what you get with a defensive coach. You're not going to have to suffer guys who just,
that was one of my favorite things about Shaq Wiggins.
Yeah.
Shaq was always like, look, I'm going to watch your feet. And I'm going to, I mean, how many times
did
you see
him again this year?
He's coming with Tennessee. And you would see his arms wrapped around some guys, you know, size 12 sneakers, you know, because he's got them, you know. Yep. He's like, and he'd get dragged, but there was a tackle. So Shaq was not going to, he wasn't going to get beat on that. Yep. So I really want to see, you know, can Latavius Brenny tackle, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that's something that they've made the emphasis on. You've seen, like I said earlier, the emphasis of infusing talent at positions of need. They want guys who are filling out that defensive backfield that can tackle. They want guys on that offensive line who are going to be able to just grind that nose in and just smack somebody in the mouth.
Well,
they
I mean,
want a guy
Kirby's
at the
wide receiver. He wants guys that are meaner.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And I do think that's been a big change. I think that it's about meanness, I guess. If that's a word.
That's how we need to start ranking guys at UGA Sports. Instead of your 3-star, 5-star.
How much more time we got, Jake?
Yeah, we're coming up on it.
All right,
so
let's do a little hot round. I'll throw out some questions.
Cool.
This is from Jason Kinnebrew. Who do you boys think will get more carries, Holyfield or Swift?
I'm going to go with Holyfield just based on what I've seen out of practice so far. He seems like he's got a good rapport going on with Jake Fromm early on in this practice as far as getting the handoff pretty smoothly. And I expect DeAndre Swift to be split out in the slot.
Yeah. Ronnie?
I'm going to have to go with Holyfield too just because – when do you expect him to get in?
That was my thing. Were they going to have five carries apiece?
No, I mean, it's towards the end of the game.
Correct.
You know, because Sony and Nick, you hope those guys put it away, Brian Herrien. So you're bringing in the guy. You're not bringing him in to try to break off these long plays like DeAndre Swift might be able to do. He's coming in to pound this defense to smithereens, and he's built for that.
Jordan Jones says, can Ben Cleveland play OG instead of OT? I think he meant to swap that around, but –
that's where he was playing last year was OG, and then they moved him in spring to offensive tackle. So,
and Kirby said that it had been more successful. It had been a more successful transition. That's a kid that, you know, has been bounced around a lot since he arrived in Athens, trying to find the right fit for him. You know, you hope that he does. You hope he finds it. I think offensive tackle sounds like where he's probably destined for in this scheme.
Adrian Gameboy Harris, really cool middle name, says, can y'all FedEx me some chicken?
I wish I could, man, but we're about to eat it. We're about to eat all we got left.
Get your ass up here and come order some.
Andrew Critter says, will we see Warner splitting out wide more this season to create more mismatches?
I think so. I do.
Don't. I don't. I think they love him at that H-back spot.
I think that splitting him out there and putting a guy like Nada on the field, I think that it's going to be just mismatch central. I think that there's not a lot of guys who can line up one-on-one with Charlie Warner.
Tim O'Connor, the MVP of the chat so far, says, in your opinion, what will the UGA D get a lot better at this year? Any part of the defense? You just pick a position?
Red zone defense.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. I'm going to say tackles for loss.
Okay.
I think that they will create more pressure in the backfield. I think they got some faster guys who can kind of put the heat on.
114th out of 128 teams. You can't get worse in the red zone.
There's two spots you can
opponents call. Opponents were scoring 90% of the time in the red zone, and 75% of their scores were touchdowns.
Yeah. It's scary.
Abysmal.
Luke Kicklider, crazy last name, love it.
I love it.
Says, when do the fresh tackles, Thomas and Wilson, start? There was a pause there from both of you.
No, because you got to think about it. I mean, Isaiah Wynn's got one spot.
Yeah.
And unless he gets hurt.
Correct.
You know, and then who gets
don't
that
you put
right
that
tackle
evil
spot?
On them, I'm Ricky Bobby.
No, I'm just saying, you know, is Dyshon locked down the other spot, or you know, who's going to play that right tackle spot? Does Marcus Hayes get it? Luke, I have no prediction as to when they'll actually get in. I mean, not after 2 days.
After 2 days, it's hard to tell. Really what it's going to come down to is what they want out of that right tackle spot as to who wins out of the freshmen, if they want to play one of these freshmen. And that's going to be either the power of Wilson or the technique of Thomas, because that's the attribute that both have over the other.
Do one of them get redshirted this year?
No, I don't think so.
Just off sure numbers?
No. Think about it, they need them both next year.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
So you got to play him. Thanks, Tercy Ops.
And then we've got a couple more questions here. Jeff Owen says, any chance Zoe gets 10-plus sacks?
Ooh.
Zoe is Lorenzo Carter for those just tuning in.
That's a lot of sacks.
That's a lot
of sacks, man.
I will say if he was ever going to do it, this is the year to do it. I know it's the senior year, but he came in, and Kirby mentioned this today in the press conference. Lorenzo Carter reported to camp at 250 pounds. He finished last season at 250 pounds, and they're not trying to cut weight off of him as to where he is right now. They want him to stay at that height, weight, and they want him to keep bringing that into the fold. So I think that you know, if he's able to maintain his speed, he's able to maintain that size. He's obviously a matchup nightmare if he's able to do so, but 10's a lot. I'm going to take the under on that.
I've been dealing with this one thing with Lorenzo is that he's this close.
Forever.
I mean, no, his freshman year, I thought this was a guy that was going to set the new Georgia record for sacks. I mean, when he came in, some of the plays that he had, but this past year he was that far away, and you know, everybody I've asked about it, they're like, well, it's little things that you got to perfect,
and that's exactly Kirby said as much. He said this is a guy who we've got a chart that we map out every day extra effort. He said he's on top of this board every single
day.
But
he was last year, too.
And he was last year, too. He said the thing about him is about the focus. It's about kind of zeroing in and getting his.
Got some stats I made before the show.
Oh.
Beal, Georgia needs a better pass rush. 29 total sacks last season, right off my dome here. Sixth in the SEC. Alabama led with 54, okay?
God,
Thompson, Bellamy, and Carter, though, they each had five last year. So we were kind of thinking 10, that's a lot. Carter did have five last year. So that's doubling up his production.
Double it. You know, again, maybe it's an easier schedule so you can get there, but that's still
last
tough.
UGA player with double-digit sacks, can one of you name him? Because I sure can.
David Pollack.
Jarvis Jones. Jarvis 14 and a half. I heard you got it.
Yeah,
you got it.
Jarvis,
got
because that's who, when Jarvis was here, the heir apparent was Lorenzo Carter.
True.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to come in and be the next, you know, he's going to be better than Jarvis. Yeah. Well.
And these are stats from Dave.
What the hell, Jarvis thought he was going to be better?
So a couple last questions. We'll work them in real fast. Michael Cagle says, over under eight Bulldogs on the All-SEC team this year. That's a lot. I'm going to take the under.
That's almost half of your starters.
That's also two.
I'll take it even.
A push.
Well, Nick Chubb.
Okay.
Isaac Nauta, Trent Thompson, Roquan Smith.
Okay.
Guys that could.
You're halfway there.
Halfway there. Eason makes second, third team.
Okay.
Sony Michel.
Yeah, I could see that.
One, Riley Ridley.
Possible.
You know, one wide receiver gets a third team nod, and then you need just one return
Dominic
guy.
Dominic Sanders?
No. Maybe. Yeah. Mecole Hardman is a star returner.
Okay. Benjamin.
Oh, yeah, Dominic Sanders. Or did I not mention him in the first batch?
You didn't.
Oh, well, obviously, easily a second team All-SEC guy.
You about
so,
just knock me on my chair. So I'm fragile.
Yeah. Benjamin Pack. We'll work a couple quick ones in here. Benjamin Pack says Robert Beal analysis. A guy who comes from that Norcross program, moved to IMG, similar body type to Lorenzo Carter. Don't know that he's got that motor just yet, and I think that that's something that they're going to have to put in him. All the physicality, I mean, the way that the guy is built, it's how you dream of him being built.
Do you remember when Josh Dawson showed up about 60 pounds heavier than the last time we had seen him?
Sure.
That might be a situation where we look out tomorrow, see Beal, and all of a sudden he's like, what?
All right, last question we will take here. Dave Hohenschelt.
Oh, I am in love with these last names.
Hohenschelt.
Hohenschelt. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's good stuff there. Dave says, besides Thompson, which defensive lineman makes the biggest jump from last year?
Jonathan Ledbetter.
He missed half the season.
What is that?
Of course he could get better.
Yeah, he's going to start. He wasn't on the team.
I'm just saying. Jonathan Ledbetter.
Water's wet.
I'm going to say David Marshall. I think he improves significantly on a fantastic freshman season.
No, Julian Rochester all the way.
All right. I like it. Benjamin Peck says Rowdy's the GOAT. Rowdy's the GOAT. That's how we sign off every time. That's how you know it's time to go.
Yeah.
Thank you again to all of our sponsors. Rowdy, list them off for us, please.
Let's go with Champies, of course. 365 Game Day, Cable East, EurPie.
Athens Ford.
I'm just saying Athens Ford.
11 Alive.
11 Alive Sports. Not 11 Alive News. No, we love those guys too. But 11 Alive Sports is the page you need to mark. Give them a big thumbs up.
Make sure to download this podcast over on iTunes and on Google Play.
And for the love of God, go to ugasports.com. Sign up for the deal we have right now.
Unbelievable.
Get two seasons for one. We've never done that before. I had to get special permission to be able to do it. So please don't.
I don't
want to
tell you what he had to do.
Please, when they say, "Well, that's a bit aggressive," I'm like, "Yes," because we're at a record number of subscribers. And we want to give even more people the chance to jump in. In other words, we can afford to do that.
Don't make him do it again. Don't make him do whatever he had to do for the deal again. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Paul?
I'm Paul Meharry. That's Jake Roos. That's Ryan Nabulsi.
We're out.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.